Okay, we're here with Eating Glass. Introduce yourselves and tell us what you do in the band.
I'm Rogers. I play guitar in the band.
I'm Jason. I play bass guitar.
I'm Jeff. I also play guitar.
I'm Jose. I'm the vocalist in the band.
I'm Spencer, and I play guitar and drums.
Okay.
You play guitar?
I just play drums. I'm just kidding.
How long has Eating Glass been together for?
2 years, maybe?
About 2.5.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2.5 years.
Okay. Yes. Were you guys in any bands before Eating Glass? No, actually, I'm going to ask you where you guys are from, because on your MySpace site it says GTA, but I've also read an article in the Hamilton thing about you guys being from four different places. So which scene do you guys consider yourselves part of?
I guess we're a part of the Toronto scene. All of our shows
Do you guys live in different cities still, though? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you practice? Like, how does that come together?
Everybody comes down to my place in Burlington. Jason lives in Kitchener, so he drives 40 minutes. We're thankful for that.
Yeah. Okay. Were you guys in any prior bands to Eating Glass?
Rogers?
Jose and I were in a band before that called Lions, but we broke up about probably around the time we started Eating Glass, actually.
Okay. Was the breakup the impetus to start Eating Glass, or like, was there some kind of connection between the two bands?
No, not really. It's just it was something we started off as, like, not a serious band, and then I don't know. Once we kind of threw the towel in with Lions, we took the band a little bit more seriously.
Okay. See, I heard the opposite though. I heard Lions actually toured a lot and did a pretty good recording in terms of a demo. Is there any truth to that?
We did our first EP. We did, yeah. It turned out really good, and we recorded another one right after that. We did the summer after our first EP came out. Like, we did a month long tour, and then we came home, and then we just kind of did shows here and there, and yeah, and then like I said, we called it quits.
Okay.
In the new year.
Yeah, we went to Montreal a bunch, and
like shows here and there. Yeah.
Yeah, and
weekend shows and stuff.
Like week long like tours in Ontario and stuff, and just like,
okay, it's a lot more than most, I think.
Yeah,
a lot more than we've done.
Yeah, a lot more than we've done.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot more than we've done for sure.
Okay. So how did Eating Glass form? How did you guys all bring each other in? How did it start?
I began the band actually like, I don't know, like 2.5. Yeah, like I guess like 2.5 years ago, it was all different like members in the band actually, and
the initial Eating Glass lineup.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wasn't it originally called The Accusation?
No.
Or something like that.
No, no, no.
Waters.
Trouble, yeah.
Waters.
That's what it was. Yeah, yeah.
Like a bridge over troubled waters.
I guess so. Okay. Yeah, and like it was all like different members, but nobody knew how to play their instruments. So I just found new members. And
now, Jose, you were telling me initially in the Lions you played drums, right?
Yeah, and I was a drummer at first.
You didn't start playing drums in the Eating Glass?
No, no, no. I got bored of playing drums, really, and I guess I was tired of, like,
being behind everybody?
Yeah, like all the gear and stuff, like carrying all that gear around and just like having to deal with it all.
And, in short, he's so very lazy.
Yeah, and I don't know, like I wanted to talk about like things that mattered and stuff like to me and to get my point across basically of what I feel and what I think like the world is, you know?
Yeah, okay. So where does the name Eating Glass come from?
I don't know. Like, I just came up with it one day.
Block party song.
We used to be called Fury until I found out that there was a band on J-Tree Records called Fury.
There was like 1,000 bands with like
there
Fury
was
a
there was several bands with the name Fury. so we kind of just split second decision that made a Eating Glass the official name.
Okay.
Kind of came out of nowhere, I suppose.
Okay, but does it have like a reference point or something? Or
No.
Okay.
No, not really. Like, I was just like,
I mean, it's a great name. It, you know. It's jarring, right? Like, you think of Eating Glass, really, it's like
aggressive.
Yeah, no, but I mean, you get the idea.
Yeah, it's like really like power violence, like esque, I guess. And I'm pretty sure that's what we liked about it, so we just like decided to go with it.
Yeah, it's a good image for sure.
Like, that's the view. And I guess that was like the kind of like the direction that we were at the time. So we just...
Okay, well, that was my next question. What was the idea behind Eating Glass when you first started? What was it to be a power violence band, or
it was just to be as angry and
fast and loud,
so yeah. Like extreme in every way
yeah,
possible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah, like the fast parts like really fast, and slow parts just really like slow and just
heavy and pummeling.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay, who do you consider influences on the band from a punk standpoint? I'm not so interested in the metal stuff; just more the punk.
Jeff,
Wolf Brigade,
yeah, Wolf Brigade,
Cut the Shit.
Wow, that's good. Those yeah. are good. Those are good reference points. I mean, they're different scenes for sure.
Mm-hmm. Me and Jeff originally, before we started playing this band, we listened to a lot of like Skid System, like lots of Swedish DB bands and things like that. from there, just I don't know what everybody else was listening to.
What about
to.
You, Rogers? Man, what are you listening to?
Slayer and Integrity.
Yeah.
As he's wearing a Slumlord shirt.
Yeah.
Anybody else want to?
Jason
listens to a lot of Black Sabbath. like a lot of Black Sabbath. Almost too much, I think. Lots of Mind Eraser. Bands like Mind Eraser. And he likes the Mountain Goats a lot.
Yeah, I really like the Mountain Goats, but that's not really an influence on the band.
I don't know what they sound like, so...
Okay, if you had to limit your music collection to 5 punk releases as a band, what would they be?
As a band?
So in other words, let's say you're going on tour. Yeah.
Probably Bad Brains.
What would you listen to in a van?
Any Bad Brains record.
Except you have to pick one.
Rock for Light.
Okay.
In Darkness, You Feel No Regrets.
Yeah, probably that
one. Yeah, so Wolf Brigade, In Darkness, You Feel No Regrets.
What about you?
I don't know. I'll just go with Integrity, Humanity's the Devil.
Probably any of the early Black Sabbath albums.
You said punk records.
Oh.
Yeah,
not
sorry.
A punk record. Oh, sorry. I wasn't listening. Focus
<That's okay>.
Issues.
Yeah. Alcohol you get
abuse.
To pick again.
That too.
You get one more shot. Go.
Cut the Shit, Harmed and Dangerous, probably.
Rogers.
Can't narrow it down. I have to
Rain
say
and Blood. I'll do it for you. Rain and Blood. You know.
Any Slayer and Integrity.
That's
record,
a
really.
Is it kind of it's a crossover?
It is a crossover. I'll
yeah.
give it to you. I'm not
okay.
Gonna, okay. I'm not going to cut airs here. What are your thoughts on the local scene at the moment?
Stuck in the City are doing a really good job. They're putting on lots of really cool shows, especially in the near future. Like 108 and that whole weird Bridge 9 tour that's like Have Heart with Polar Bear Club and who else is playing that?
Trapped Under Ice.
Trapped Under Ice. It's just
a Bad Choice and that band with Mike and JD.
Fortune Teller.
Yeah.
Fortune Teller.
Yeah. Fortune Teller.
Yeah, and Mark Pesci as well, although he's kind of sort of lumped in with the Stuck in the City crew, but he does his own thing on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Greg Benedetto, he definitely is keeping it alive out here in Toronto.
Yeah, for sure.
And there's tons of kids who are coming out to shows, so that's really rad, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, all out of nowhere. It's weird. Like, last year at Siesta Nouveau, I remember when New Lows came through, there was how many people? There was, like, 60 people.
Something like that.
And now everybody's coming to the Adrift Clubhouse, and it's just packed, and that place
You're
is...
You're not allowed to say the name on... Actually...
You're allowed to say the name.
Anyways,
it's the address. it's secret.
Yeah, like it's about three times the size of CS Nouveau, and it's just filling
anymore.
Out it's every show.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time.
Can you bleep that out? Like, just, no, I'm kidding.
All right. What are some of the things that you sing about in your lyrics?
The state of the world, I guess. Our views on our society and just. On our governments and on our people, like the way we act and stuff. And
I noticed you do a song called Watching the World Burn. What's that about?
It's actually about like me wanting like to burn the world and like I don't destroy everything. Like
yeah.
Sorry.
Everything's already gone to shit too far.
Yeah, like I have no faith in like people and stuff and I try to keep like I don't know, I mean, like, I try to keep to myself, and I try to disassociate myself, like, from, like, the world as much as I can.
Yeah.
So.
You do a song called King of Frauds. Is that about someone in particular? Or
Jesus.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's about Jesus himself.
All right. What would be your favorite Eating Glass song from a lyrical standpoint, and why do you like it?
I would I'd probably say Blacklisted. It's a song that was on our demo, and like it was the first song we wrote, and I guess that the lyrics aren't really anything like special or anything, but I was just like really angry at that point, and fucking like I don't know, it was my first time like singing in a band, you know, and I don't know, man. Like,
does it capture your anger? Like, it's straight to the point, kind of thing. Yeah. That you like the how it just captures everything.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, what about the rest of you guys? What would be your favorite Eating Glass song from a lyrical standpoint? Tell us why you like it.
Mine's probably Feed Them, just because like if you listen to it and like read along the lyrics, it's like has a lot of imagery to it, so you can it's like really visual, and you can picture it, and yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm with Jason on that one.
Yeah.
Yep. I guess we all
agree on that.
Everyone else likes Feed Them. Okay. How many recordings have you done to date?
Three separate recordings with
11.
About
what are you talking about?
There's songs.
16 tracks in total, I guess.
There's 9 on the 7-inch. We have 4 coming out on a split with Blackbirds, and we did our demo our demo was 4 songs.
4 songs.
Okay, so you, when did you record your demo? That was the first one? I think that was like maybe in 2007, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was June 2007.
And where did you record that? I think there's a story about that.
Yeah, I was moving out of my house, just going down the road, my entire family was, and we decided to set up in the living room while the moving company was taking all of the furniture and everything out of the house. So like we would have to stop recording because they were moving something around too loud, and it was getting picked up, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who recorded it?
A friend of mine named Alan Glanfield, who he goes to Metalworks for engineering or recording engineer.
So he's a student?
Yes, he's a student.
An engineering student.
An engineering student, yes.
Yeah. Good. And then you did, I think the next recording would be for the EP?
Yes.
High Anxiety. So where did you record that at?
We recorded with Jason O. Young in Mississauga,
yep,
in his parents' basement.
Mr. Kill Decibel?
Yes.
Mr. Kill Decibel.
Okay. And
he's in Fortune Teller and in Blackbirds, too.
Is he?
Now, yeah. And
so that's the band that you're doing the split with?
Urban Blight.
Yeah.
Urban Blight.
Is he playing in Urban Blight now, too?
Yeah, I mean, he's a drummer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that he's always been the drummer.
Yeah.
You just can never see him when he's playing.
Yeah, because he's so small.
Yeah. So... how did you decide to go to Jason and do the recordings there?
We heard the Kill Decibel record that he recorded. I think he did most of the recordings actually, but we liked the sound of it and decided, hey, you know, it's inexpensive, it's easy. We know him pretty well, I suppose, so we just kind of decided to go with him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You had so the EP on High Anxiety. First off, how did that come about? How did Chris come to offer you to do a record?
I just kept on bothering him, actually. I was like, hey, man, I really want you to put this record out, blah, blah, blah. Like, we recorded it. Like, it's all done. It's all ready to go. And he was like, I don't know, man. And then, I don't know, man. I just kept on bothering him.
Eventually he caved?
Yeah.
There was a breaking point.
Okay.
Traumatic situation.
And he loves it now. Like, I don't know, like.
Yeah, I was looking at the blog today, and there's lots of posts about Eating Glass on there.
Yeah, so. Like, I'm pretty sure we sold, like, a good, like, amount of records and stuff, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess he's happy, you know, so.
So, you were mentioning that there were some delays on the EP. What slowed this thing down?
Everything.
Every step of the way?
Yeah.
The whole mastering it for vinyl process took a really long time, because we sent it down to, I think we sent it to New York.
I don't know, like to New York or Florida or something.
It was
the wrong address.
It was the guy who mastered the Sepultura records who was doing it.
And a bunch of Red hip hop records too.
Yeah, I don't remember his name, unfortunately, but it took months. for that to come about finally. We finally got the test presses, and then from there, it took us about another month to get the records, maybe another month and a half.
Yeah, we got like the records the week of our release shows. I think it was like the Tuesday or Wednesday. Oh,
right, after they had been booked for a good like month and a half.
Yeah, it was like 2 days. Friday and Saturday. Yeah.
And then I just spent the next 2 days assembling the records in my kitchen with my roommate, Kevin Dent.
But they got done.
Yeah,
they got done.
All right.
And I'm pretty sure we had to send like another because wasn't it broken or whatever when it arrived?
No. The test?
No, the CD that we sent to the dude.
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure like it was broken. We had to like send another copy of it and stuff.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty hectic.
Yeah, for sure. Tell us about the artwork on the 7-inch. What does it look like?
Artwork is done by Jeff Beckman. Mm-hmm. He's a tattoo artist based out of Hamilton.
And how did you get Jeff to do the artwork?
He's actually... he's a buddy of mine, and he tattoos me and stuff. So
yeah, I was looking. You guys all have like sleeves and stuff, yeah. Tattoos. I'm wondering if you all get Jeff to do.
No.
We're all trust fund kids.
Just Jose.
I'm the least thing from a trust fund kid. Man.
No, you're the most tattooed.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm the least trust fund kid because I live on my own.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Up but the yeah. punks.
Continue.
Yeah, like
so you know Jeff from getting tattoos done and other things.
You was the singer in
Haymaker.
Yeah. You was the singer in Haymaker.
Guitarist in Chokehold.
You was in Left 4 Dead.
Guitarist in Chokehold.
Chokehold, like
yeah.
Yeah, all those good Hamilton bands, you know.
Yeah.
So
can you tell us what the artwork looks like?
Describe
like
it.
Mary and a bunch of vultures and I don't know her like I don't know man.
Worst of being
Spencer.
I've got nothing for this one.
So. Okay. You have a song called Feed Them and you have a song called To the Vultures. Is the EP the combination of the two song titles?
Yes.
Is that the idea?
Yeah.
Okay. Can we play some word association?
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh man. You guys mentioned some stories, so I'm going to just mention the things that you said. So, Save the Turtle. Flesh. Is there a story behind this?
Okay, yeah. we were playing a weekend of shows, the only weekend we've done fairly far away. We were playing in Gatineau, Quebec on the Saturday, and then Sudbury on the Sunday. So, we were going up through Quebec and Ontario, and we were driving down some highway, and we just saw this woman pulled over to the side of the road. And there was a turtle on the side of the road. And this was a snapping turtle. He was just kind of like hanging out on the side of the road. And we didn't want him to die or anything.
It was huge.
Yeah, it was pretty big. And I was the only one who, I don't know, I've handled turtles before. So I just took him down. Whatever, I used to own tortoises.
He's the only vegan one in the band. And but, he's the only one that really cared.
Yeah, I'm the only one who cares about animals in the band.
Well, that's why he's the only vegan.
Actually,
in the
I think
band,
that's pretty cool because I heard on the radio this they did this phone-in show where people like were talking about you know turtles dying on the highway and these guys were all calling in saying yeah I love to drive in and it's just like it was just seemed like totally screwed up to me like these people would drive towards and people had stories about how people would go off the road because they were swerving so far to try and hit the turtle and stuff like that and I just think this was like this is ridiculous. These people are screwed up, right? They're just using them as target practice or whatever with their cars.
I have a story like almost like pretty irrelevant to that, but this dude it's a story about hitting animals. This dude, I used to live in a really small town, and this guy was out drinking one night with his friend, and they're trying to hit like a cat or something on the side of the road because they're stupid hicks. Anyways, the dude ends up hitting he goes off the road, hits a hydro pole and dies. So there's instant karma for being a piece of shit.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so the next word association is Screaming Eagle.
Screaming Eagle. Oh, Jeff.
Happened a few hours ago.
Yeah.
So this is a this is a current story.
This is today.
we were driving along the highway and someone spat gum at Jason's car, so decided to give them a Screaming Eagle. Should I elaborate on what that is?
Yes, you should.
Okay.
Because I didn't know what it was initially.
Okay, well, basically you just... take your penis and your testicles and separate them, and you make a vulture cry. Or a screaming eagle, I guess.
But, an eagle scream?
Yeah, an eagle scream.
What does that sound like?
I can't do it because I'm sick.
No, well, you did.
Just try. I'll give it a shot. No, it's not happening. Yeah, there we go.
There you go.
And did it have any effect on the
offending
car?
They looked a little bit disgusted.
Yeah, they were pretty bummed.
I don't really know why, but...
So it had the effect you were looking for.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, good. Okay, what are the band's plans for the next little while? What do you guys have coming up? You were talking about the split, maybe? We could talk about that.
Yeah, I think we are going to go into record, actually, again. On the following...
On the 21st, so next weekend.
Yeah.
Next Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh, no, so very soon.
Yeah.
He has a wedding now?
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Oh, okay, so...
New information.
Yeah, that's news to me. So
basically, we have three songs recorded for that split right now that we recorded with J.O. Young, and we found out that their side is too long, so we're still making it a 10-inch, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're turning... It's a 10-inch now, so we have to record one more song so that it just fills up our side.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's not a filler song, though.
It's not filler, but it's a song to fill space.
It's something we wrote a while ago, and we thought, we might as well just put that on it since we're like we want to get it out as soon as we can.
Yeah,
okay. It's the first song that we played tonight.
Who's doing the 10-inch?
It's a buddy of ours. His name is Mitch.
He's from London.
Yeah, he's from London. He's a good guy.
He's good people.
Does he have a label name or something?
Pariah Records.
Pariah Records?
I'm pretty sure that this is going to be like his first like record that he does.
Oh, good.
And he's a guy that we trust, and he took out like an OSAP like loan or something like just like to do the record.
Oh, so, that's cool.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like he's putting like his neck out for us.
I don't know if it's good just to do the record, but
leveraging that education.
Nice.
Yeah.
School, I don't know.
Learn.
It'll probably be a better learning experience than post-secondary school.
Yeah, no doubt.
What about touring? Are you guys planning on playing out of here, outside of Toronto, outside of Southern Ontario?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've played in Buffalo. We're planning on doing weekends in the States, just going to like Pennsylvania and New York.
I really want to go to Baltimore.
Baltimore, Virginia. And I think we might be doing a week of shows in the summer. We're still undecided on that. That's about it at this point.
Yeah. Okay. How can people get in touch with the band? What's the best way to get in touch with you guys?
The MySpace.
Six Force? No, I'm kidding.
6-7. My number's 905.
Can you tell us what your MySpace site is?
Yes, it's www.myspace.com/eatingglasshc.
Okay, and...
How cool.
Yeah, that's what the cool. H is. Okay, so any last comments?
Spencer's bald.
Roberto Alomar's a jerk.
Jeff's adopted.
Spencer wants to bang my real mom.
I'm on the hunt for Jeff's real mom. I am compelled to sleep with her. I don't know what she looks like or who she is, but one day.
Yeah. I'd like to know too.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for playing today.
Thank you.
Thanks
for having us.
Thank you.